John Lawson's in the studio. Morning, John.
Kia ora, bright sunny morning.
Aye. So we are talking local issues. We're going to start off a little bit nationwide, but it's to do with local government. Last week, Simeon Brown has announced council-controlled organisations such as CCOs will immediately be able to borrow for water infrastructure through the local government funding agency. So a lot of district councils were saying, look, we're just not going to be able to afford, we haven't got the borrowing, we haven't got the power to borrow the amount of money needed to keep up with modern standards for our three waters. And one council said, actually, we're just going to start going backwards in a few years. We're not going to be compliant. And that's the end of that. So they've announced that, not that they're going to give them money or anything, just they'll be able to, created a situation where they can borrow money that they wouldn't otherwise be able to borrow. A lot of people wish that they could do that too. They'd be able to buy a bigger house, John.
Yeah. I noticed that our council has been busy talking to ministers because there's a report on the district council website saying how many meetings they've had with the whole range of ministers, talking to them about what they see as the crisis, because you were talking to the mayor last week and was it last week, the week before last? And,
something like that.
One of her main concerns is how we're going to pay for all the water infrastructure.
Mm. And she was also saying, she said to the Minister, Simeon Brown, like, we have a really good arrangement with Watercare, but they're pulling out of it because for business reasons. It kind of doesn't matter because they're quite independent self, they only look after their own self-interest as a business model.
So it's just that the announcement seemed to come not that long after we dragged their head along to talk to a public meeting. Yeah.
Well, they had screwed up, but they handled that quite well, I thought. Like, they did turn up, they fronted up, and they went and fixed the problem.
Thought, why am I here? What are we getting out of this? Do I want to be here again in another 3-6
years?
For
this pipsqueak little town that's causing them so much trouble, yeah. Well, their management, up until that point, we thought the management of the wastewater here had been quite good, but there was a few unfortunate things in a row.
Yeah, another interesting thing that's in the council's report on its annual spending is that they've managed to spend slightly more than they were allocated, whereas nearly all the other council departments have not managed to spend what they were allocated. They've suffered from staff shortages and not been able to.
Well, that helps you save money, doesn't it? If you can't actually do the work. So I just wanted to go back to this announcement from Simeon Brown. Basically, a CCO is a council-controlled organisation. It acts like a business, but it's controlled by the council. But actually, what we've noticed in the past is the councils often have so little control over it. There used to be a company called, was it Tanlaw out here? they were basically the old council works department set up as a private business, and the council found they couldn't actually control them. And in the end, they gave their contract to a different company, and Tanlaw ceased to exist.
Yep.
And now they split that work up and one of the companies to two different companies, and one of the companies is Christchurch City Council's council controlled organisation. So it's all that's all a bit mad. I mean, why on earth has Christchurch City Council got control over our maintenance work on our parks and things here? It doesn't make any sense, but that's the artificial market environment they tried to create in the 90s, I think, at work. Anyway, these CCOs are now able to borrow a lot more than they used to be able to. Like, you see, the government funding agency, we're exploring increasing debt limits, potentially up to 350% of revenue. That sounds like too much.
Not what you'd expect if you were buying a house. You wouldn't expect to buy a house that was only 3.5 times your income.
Well, I mean, let's apply it to the house thing. Most people in this country can't afford to buy a house. So, therefore, according to this solution, the government will just create a body, like the local government organisation, that will then have a rule that says that they can borrow from them twice as much as they've previously been able to, regardless of whether they can pay it off or not.
If it's only 3.5 times your income, you're not going to be able to buy that many houses for most people's incomes.
Yeah. Actually, that's true. That's also an issue. But I guess what will happen is if they can do that, they'll have to pass on the costs to the consumer, which will be the ratepayer. So in the end, it is the ratepayers paying for it.
Yep. Well, this has been the excuse me, this has been the worry all along, hasn't it, that councils wouldn't be able to afford it, and it's a different version of not being able to afford it, it seems to me, which is what it seems to me that people have been keeping very quiet on this because they're still working out whether it can work and if so, whether it will work. And it's not too obvious, I think, that it will make things much better.
Allowing an organisation to double its debt level, that doesn't make sense, like business-wise, does it? It can't make sense.
It also depends how much you have to pay to do the borrowing, because the more dodgy you are, the more they're going to charge you in interest. The council's publishing its credit ratings amongst the banks, and I think they're all a triple minus, but it's a reasonably high rating. But if you go below that, then they start charging you quite a lot more.
So will this get? But this gets the debt off officially off the government books, doesn't it? It's not on not the government. It's on. It's not on the council's books because it's on the council-controlled organisation's books. And it's this is actually the same sleight of hand that was happening with Three Waters. The Labor government wanted to create four big entities. Admittedly, the bigger entities meant there'd be no little councils left out. Like West Coast District Council is worried that Canterbury Council won't want to know them. There'll be too much of a bother. So it solved those problems, but it was still creating something so that the debt would not appear on the council's books or the government books, because in this case, Labor's always scared of being mocked by right-wingers that they're building up debt, even though the track record shows completely different results over the last 20 or 30 years. That's always their fear, and they didn't want to say that out loud. But yeah, it's just all this is a shuffling sleight of hand. The reality is that the government is the best place to handle the debt, because they can also, as a sovereign entity, create their own money.
And they can borrow at a much lower rate than any other, because they can print the money to pay any interest or whatever.
So this whole fuss has all come about because modern governments in the neoliberal, let's call it the neoliberal era, I know some people don't like that, but all our governments in this era are scared of being seen to carry too much debt, even though New Zealand is one of the lowest. And government debt, we have some of the lowest government debt in the world. You never see that discussed in the media. It's always about, oh no, Labor's going to create massive amounts of debt, and no one actually goes and compares it to how much other governments have handled for decades. So it's all so that their books look good. That's it. It's all about looks, and it's created this huge storm, and now I don't think that's a solution.
Yeah, well, as I say, there seems to be remarkably little comment on it, so I suspect that in the back rooms, various people are busy working on this and trying to see whether it would actually work. Because I don't think you or I understand enough of a local authority finance system to say, is it going to work or not? I think we've got to wait and see what those more experienced people come up with.
Mm. The other thing too is do we want our district council, which has managed its finances quite well, to get into bed with Hamilton City Council, which has been going for glory projects like a rally around the town that's got them massively into debt? Like, do we want to be tied to that? That doesn't seem very wise, does it?
We're probably not going to have any option, because before we had Water Care looking after our water services, that was the option they were looking at, to go in with Waipara and Hamilton as a threesome and run their water services that way. And then WaterCare came along as an option and they jumped at that one.
Yeah, and it actually worked out quite well, apart from what happened a few months ago.
As I say, WaterCare seems able to spend money when the council can't sort itself out to do that. And they seem to, as you say, they seem to have reduced the number of spills and generally be working quite well. We've got the latest announcement from them that they're looking at putting the sewage onto Wainui Reserve. Treated sewage, very well treated sewage.
Treated wastewater. So that's going to be the treated wastewater from the new plant that's been built that makes it verging on drinkable.
Yep, which they hope to have operational by this Christmas.
So they're basically going to be watering the grass.
Yes.
That's really all that's what they'll be doing. Like, folks, I got to, John didn't, but going on a tour of the construction project up there in the wastewater treatment plant, and they we were asking the questions and how high our quality is the water going to be out of this new plant. And they've always been saying you can wash your hands in it. But one of our water care's managers said if they chlorinated it, it then would be classed as potable. That's all that's required. So you don't need to chlorinate to put it on the ground. So it is, yeah, basically getting fresh water. And how much is that going to cost, John? That's the question.
I've forgotten the price of it. Is it 1.5 million? I could be wrong there.
Oh, just to send it down to Wainui Reserve.
Sorry, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about the MBR, the filter system. They took about $1 million for landscaping alone. So they're talking about putting a pest-proof fence around that area in the gully just to the south of the Trig Point, just as you go around the corner and get onto Naranui Beach when you're walking along Wainomo Beach to Naranui Beach, the ocean beach.
Yeah.
So they're talking about doing lots of tree planting in that area and putting up a pest-proof fence, which they claim will protect the oi in that area. But I did talk to the Karioi project, and they told me that currently there aren't any oi in that area. Fortunately, there aren't any penguins either, because they wouldn't be able to get through a pest-proof fence. But
oh, dear. They're looking at doing that. I had thought, so is this a full land-based wastewater disposal system? Because there was talk that that was going to cost millions and millions.
They were talking about piping it up to Maungatawhiri Road, which is quite a bit further and quite a bit higher, which would have cost more. And now they're looking at putting it onto the Wainui Reserve, which, as I said last Thursday, is what they looked at 20 or so years ago and dismissed it as not feasible because they said the sand was too shallow and would effectively get washed away.
Yeah, but you know what it's like. Like, someone will say that, they'll be like, they just don't want to do the project, and it's kind of borderline, so they say, no, it can't be done. It's like, because I remember a council staff member saying there was no way we could do angle parking on Bow Street. It will not work.
I think it's unsafe, but because you can't see what's coming when you're coming out from behind.
Side issue. One set of council staff said it couldn't be done. 15 years later, different council staff, yeah, of course we can do that. We just change the angle a little bit and then it'll fit. And they've done it. So,
and we haven't had any crashes so far, or have we?
Yeah. Don't know. Don't think so. People go pretty slowly. And it is a 30K zone, which will help. But yeah,
it'd be dangerous if people were doing 30K, but they're doing quite a bit less than that. Yeah,
I mean, instinctively, you slow right down for that kind of environment. But yeah, my point is that even though these people are experts and good at their job, when it's there will be times where they're just like, nah, it can't be done. And we've got no way of knowing whether they've been accurate or not. So I just refer to that situation. Like in the past, they probably thought, oh, this is a crazy idea. You're mad. Hippies. Don't, you know, that's not how you deal with this problem.
I think the difference probably is that they're putting it in at the top of the gully rather than at the bottom of it.
So there you go.
But I don't know why they didn't look at doing that before, if that's feasible.
Because they didn't want to do it. Because it went against everything that they'd ever done before. Right? I mean, experts are human beings too, and if you take them out of their comfort zone, especially engineers are very risk averse. And they may not have known what they were talking about, whereas we've got water care now and they have got a lot more expertise, which we've discussed before. So anyway, how much will it cost, John? That's the question. Because if the water is so clean that it just needs chlorinating to be classed as potable, as drinkable, why are we that worried about putting it into the sea anymore?
Well, I'm still not clear how many nutrients it will have. So yeah, you might have got rid of all the bacteria. But have you got rid of all the nutrients? I think the answer is probably you haven't, to the same extent you've got rid of bacteria. But I've yet to see the figures on quite what the MBR plant's going to come up with by way of an output.
Damn, I wish we'd asked that question. But that's an important question. That's something we need an answer to. Okay, what else are we going to talk about, John?
I think it's interesting to look at that one and think, just what effect it's going to have, because a pest-proof fence is fairly high. I don't know whether you've been to the one that they've got over at Maungatawhiri.
They're going to do one like that?
Yes.
Jeepers.
But of course it won't be that long. It will be just round the gully.
But that's expensive. Like, how badly do we know? Who asked for this?
That's the $1 million that they've put aside to.
Who asked for this pest-proof fence?
Well, I've yet to work out why it needs a fence at all. Because at the moment you can stand on top of the sewage outfall if you want to at low tide. And quite why it needs a huge $1 million fence around this new one, which is putting out cleaner water than the current one, I don't know.
Standards?
Because I thought maybe there were some good wildlife reasons for it. But as I say, when I talked to Karioi Project, they said there's nothing that we know of living up that gully.
Where is the gully exactly?
Do you know where the trig point is on Wainui Reserve?
I'm a little hazy about
81 metres above sea level.
Where is it in relationship to the bush reserve, the bush park part of Wainui Reserve?
It's on the opposite side of a hill from there on the seaside of it.
So it's near the town end of Wainui Reserve, nearish.
So you know where the pine forest is.
Yep.
You go along Wainamu Beach and you look up and there's some pine trees up there. Mm. You get to the far end of those pine trees and that's where the trig point is at the top.
So there's quite a different place to where the current pipe is.
We'll need a completely new pipe to go up there, and that's one of the things that they're looking at, because they're also going to do an archaeological survey to make sure they're not digging up anything they shouldn't when they put their pipe across there.
Whose land will that be on? Because I know there's a treaty claim on part of Wainui Reserve.
At the moment it's all Waikato District Council land, so they own the road reserve which leads to it, and they own the reserve which it's on.
But I can't see them doing something on a piece of land that there's a claim on.
They have been talking to the Hapu, and I think it's Tainui or Tainui who have a claim on that.
Yeah.
And they seem happy with the plan, because the alternative is that they keep the pipe, which they're not at all happy with, crossing their land and not at all happy with it being discharged into the sea. So given the options of do we keep that or do we put this in, I think Tainui or Tainui have agreed that that's the better option.
I think they're the Hapu that's felt most affected by the current situation. Yeah.
Like it was their Taniwha that was displaced by the current sewage works.
Okay. Moving on, John. Future proof? We're going to go to future proof?
Yeah, future proof is because they. The council strategy committee, or they've given it an extra name now, I've forgotten what it is meeting this morning, and they've got on their agenda future proof. So this is the strategy that we've talked about before. There've been hearings and decisions on, and this is a report back to council to rubber stamp those decisions.
So just for a sec, future proof is a combined Waikato area region. Waikato region councils.
The whole of Waikato region, but the sort of Hamilton area.
The busy ones.
Mm-hmm. Which includes us.
Getting together saying how we're going to plan for future growth to cope with the madness coming down from Auckland. Those are my words.
No, I think your words are more accurate than what appears in the future-proof strategy.
Okay. Well, it's good that they're doing something. I mean, right? Something needs to happen. Something needs to be planned for.
But they say that the urban form has the ability to reduce carbon emissions from private vehicles.
Reuse, did you say?
Reduce.
Reduce. Oh, yeah.
I hope I said reduce. They're saying that it's going to encourage a current settlement pattern based on compact and concentrated growth, and is supported by the transport program business case.
So,
and
question.
Of course, in the case of Raglan, we don't have a transport business program case.
So, we've talked in the past about the concept of a 20-minute city, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a 20-minute city, but if you put everyone into an urban form, but they live over there and several kilometres away is where all the shops are, and in another direction is where they work, the compact urban form's not helping with your climate change issues. So is there talk in there about how they plan these urban forms as well?
Well, there is for everywhere except Raglan. And
no one wants to plan for Raglan, do they? We've just got to do our own plan. John, I've got a piece of paper here. Let's start now. Here's Raglan.
It's an almost blank sheet of paper.
Yeah. Well, that's all they've got from us, isn't it? No, actually, now look, I asked the mayor about this, and she said, "Well, no, there are various plans for Raglan. There's just not an overarching plan. There's bits and pieces of work that have been done, and this is true, but no one is aware of.
Nobody ever put the whole thing together and to see if it would work.
Yeah." Yeah, so it does. That does actually mean it'd be easier to put it together, though, if many of the bits are already created. So you can answer my question about whether they're talking about the way they plan their urban forms to reduce traffic at all.
Well, yeah, and that is what they're doing in the big areas like Pocono and around the Hamilton area.
Yeah.
So and that is what is being planned. But and I keep saying that. The same thing hasn't happened for this area. And I keep asking when it's going to happen, and I keep getting fobbed off in one way or another.
So the last one was from Future Proof was that there's far more growth happening in the north of the district, so we're not going to do any planning for Raglan at all.
Yes, and I'm kind of essentially like, that's it.
So I would have thought at least our proportion of rates would go to doing the small amount of planning required down here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, we were only 10% of the growth issue, I think, that by my calculation, looking at the numbers.
Yep.
So they're certainly getting bigger growth up there. There's no doubt about that. And they certainly need some plans. But I would have thought that 10% of the money could go to us for our little piece of growth. Because percentage-wise, it's a big issue for Raglan. We're talking about nearly doubling the number of people living here, depending on how many of the houses are batches.
And we're talking about quadrupling it by 2070. So
yeah, but even in the near term, uh-huh. You know, in my lifetime,
yes,
it's probably going to double.
Because I suspect it's part of this problem of filling staff positions that they haven't got the staff to do even what they're trying to do, and to add something like planning for Raglan.
Well, I asked the mayor about this, and she said, "No, we've got." No, we're doing pretty well as councils go for holding on to staff. And I didn't have any data in front of me to argue with her, but I'm pretty sure maybe they're all right now, but a year or two ago they were performing worse than other worse than Waipa District Council.
I don't know how
in any case, why can't we try to have a council where people really love to work and get that rate down? Like I don't think they believe it's possible.
Because one of the
and they also say it's quite a good place to work already. The staff are reflecting that, but still they have problems with them leaving. I should also add though that she did say she wants to do something about the thing you've always said, which is that when they leave, how does the information get transferred to the next staff member? She wants to do something about that.
Yep, that will certainly help. Because what part of the report that's going to the committee this morning is talking about personnel costs. And saying that they're 5.2 million above last year's costs due to increased headcount and market movement increases. But then they say it's partially offset by savings from vacancies. So I don't know how they've got more people working for them, but they've still got savings from vacancies. So the 5.2 million increase is offset by 2.3 million saving because they couldn't fill so many positions.
So maybe a year ago there were even more positions that they couldn't fill. So their failure to fill rate has come down. So they've got more staff, but it's still not enough.
Could be. It does say that labour turnover has reduced slightly down to 16.9%, which is not too bad. So that means what people stay for about 6 years or so.
On average. Depends. The ones in good positions where they've got a fair amount of power and autonomy will stay. We know that for people's mental health, having autonomy in your work environment is very important. So the ones higher up the food chain will certainly be sticking around, more likely to stick around. The ones lower down, especially the new ones, like planners, for instance, you get someone fresh out of, they've got their planning degree, they go into the planning department, they do 2 years, they move on. It's pretty that's always been the way.
Yeah, because they've also come up with what they've put in their budget and what they've spent money on in the last year. And as I say, the only one where they've overspent is on waters, where they did put aside just under 58 million and they've spent almost 59 million. So they overspent on that one by about $1 million. But on the other ones, like roading, they've were going to spend $60 million and they've only spent $42 million, which might account for some of those holes in the roads that people are unhappy with. On waste, they were going to spend $3.5 million. They've spent just over $500,000.
What was the difference?
Well, on waste,
yeah,
About $3 million.
Down to
$500,000 rather than $3.5 million.
So did they just, were they going to create, there's long been talk about creating a community recycle centre at Huntley or Narawahia, and maybe they were planning to do that and they didn't. Because that's a big project, right? That level of, from $500,000 to $3.5 million.
Because they've got, unless the government scraps it, they've got to do food waste recycling within a couple of years. We've been doing it for a while here, but they haven't extended it to the rest of the district. So I think that's probably a large part of that money that they were planning to spend and haven't got around spending yet.
What has the government said anything about that? Because it sounds like the sort of thing that they think was a load of nonsense.
I'm surprised we haven't heard anything, but maybe it's one of those things that they're actually going to keep.
The papers yesterday were full of news about how there's basically a gun nut running the gun review. The ACT Party's got the head of a gun lobbying group now as the minister in charge of reviewing the gun laws, and she's excluding people like, you know, the police from having much of a say. At least that's what the papers were reporting. So I think they're focused on that. Oh, and Paul Goldsmith got rid of, you're not allowed to use Māori names for some places now. I don't know what it was. I don't really care that much. I'm just making my point that they're focused on those things.
Yep. Well, one of the Māori Party leaders made a speech last week when he was talking about the number of things being taken away from Māori, including names, and he went through a whole list of things and kept adding the word punch after each one. Effectively, the government's punching Māori.
Okay. When I said I didn't care, I don't mean I don't care that Māori names have been taken away. I think that comes from not understanding why people are upset about it. I just don't know. I mean, my thing to white people is why do you care? I mean, really, who cares?
Well, it seems to me.
Why is it such a problem?
We never did the job properly, so most place names are still in Te Reo. And if you're going to try and pronounce those properly and understand vaguely what they might mean, then it's good to have more Te Reo being used so that you get more used to it and the place names aren't quite such a mystery. And that's my thinking on why we should be using Te Reo rather than less. And
there you go again, John, thinking about things. You know that that doesn't happen anymore?
Yeah, one of the complaints is that the government isn't evidence-based. It's just based on political dogma.
Well, yeah. That's what people voted for.
I'm not sure that it's what people voted for, but it's what they've got. Kind of surprised this morning listening to RNZ News, and they were interviewing our Prime Minister, and he was asked what the job seeker support was and said he didn't know.
The amount of money they give people on the dole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd just been looking it up to see what it was, and if you're an 18-year-old homeless, then you qualify for $303 a week, which I was comparing with what I get as a someone on superannuation pension, and I'm getting $542 a week, so it's not far off double.
Mm. No, that doesn't surprise me. First of all, because Grey Power has been quite effective at lobbying, but also because the whole desire from successive governments has been to punish poor people for daring to not have work. Also, at the same time, as creating an economic environment where we always have about 5% unemployment, so that's a bit off, but have you been into the Wynn's office in Dinsdale? Do you find you get treated differently as a retired person?
Yes.
You get a different person to talk to who's quite nice and respectful?
I did join the main queue when I first applied for superannuation. And somebody came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, could you come across this way and not be in that queue?"
Right, there you go. Don't want you hanging out with the riffraff. You don't need to do that.
So, yeah, it's a very different situation than the government's talking about halving benefits if you don't do various things. And even as somebody who's quite good at using computers and reading forms and such like, I was finding it quite difficult to understand what I was supposed to be doing and what I was supposed to be putting on an application form.
Yeah, it's. I'm
not an 18-year-old who's homeless, but you can put that into a system and find out how much you would get and what the various benefits are and such like.
I didn't really want to get onto this, but I'm actually disgusted by it because it is a policy to keep unemployment at around about 5%, right, in order to keep wages down and suppress inflation. They don't talk about keeping corporate profits down to suppress inflation, only keeping wages down.
And probably for Maori, probably about 9% rather than 5%.
Yeah, so therefore you are planning to have a group of unemployed people and then you turn around and punish them for being unemployed and lazy. Right, that's actually disgusting, toxic, despicable behaviour. I mean, like, I defy anyone to explain to me how that's not, you know, immoral and unethical. But but people love to get on their hobby horse and punish poor people and punish unemployed people and solo mums and all of that stuff.
If you're on $303 a week and you have your benefit halved, then I don't actually see how you're going to live, because I spent more than that on food alone last week.
Well, I was talking to Marie about this, so it was a few years ago, and I said, okay, it's a situation, and she has been a solo mum. She's been through that, but not during these harsh times. She had to, she's talked about this quite publicly, leave an abusive partner, right? So she had that was what she had to do, and it took a lot of guts to do it from my perspective. But I said, what would you do in that situation where, I mean, half as much money is not enough to live on. You can't pay your rent. She said, probably what some people would do would just go to the pokies and see if they could double it, because there's no point having half. You can't stay in your rental if you've got half, so you might as well take a risk and see if you can double it. Like, that's how hopeless it feels.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how it can't just result in an increase in crime, because what else can you do?
Well, yeah, and it does. And it also results in an increase in suicides. Like, and when Paula Bennett was the minister of this kind of bullshit in 2015... she went against all the expert advice and changed the rules around how people on unemployment benefit were treated. And I said at the time, this will increase the suicide rate, and it did. So, yeah, the coalition government is cruel, and National has always been cruel toward people who don't vote for them and people at the other end of the economic spectrum. Like, they are just cruel.
Yeah, maybe we ought to get back to a district council. Their agenda this morning includes a satisfaction survey. So every year they do a satisfaction survey to ask much the same questions and see whether the answers change very much. And there has been quite a change this year. So 40% of residents are satisfied with council's performance, a drop of 9%.
Do you think that's just a result of the general feeling of dissatisfaction that's been out there since COVID or since the mandates?
Well, it could well be, yes. And 31% of residents feel they receive good value for their rates, a drop of 12%. Toilets, they report that vandalism has increased throughout the district, and therefore their rating on toilets has gone down because they've not been as well kept as they used to be. On crashes on the roads, they've gone up by 2 to 54 crashes. One of the main problems, they say, is loss of control on bends, which continues to be the highest crash type. So people are going too fast, and they're also saying there are also contributing factors like alcohol and drugs. The decrease in sealed road resurfacing, largely due to increased costs. So not only haven't they been able to spend their roading budget, but they've got less value for what they have been spending because it's costing them more. So maybe these things aren't surprising, but it's interesting to see that there's an annual report, and that's being put to council this morning. So I don't know whether they're going to come up with any solutions. It'll be interesting to look at the minutes and look at the ongoing results during the year and see if things have changed. They're also talking about animal control and saying that it's a dangerous and negative job and that they're having difficulty recruiting people for that. So that they've got two vacancies and then the two people covering dog control for the whole southern area of the Waikato district, which includes us. They've also brought in an external service provider, a contractor, to provide for cover on three nights of the week so that their current two staff don't have to work day and night, which presumably would encourage them to leave the job as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's some interesting things being put to the council this morning, and whether they result in anything in the end, we'll see.
Mm. Are we going to talk about the public places review? Have we got stuff to talk about that? Should we take a break?
There is a public places review. It's very open at the moment. It's a preliminary review. We haven't got a plan or anything. This is sort of pre-planned stage. So
this is the bit where people always complain, they've already written, they've already decided. Mm-hmm. And like, this is actually letting us have a say before they've written their draft.
Yep.
We assume they haven't written a draft, John.
Well, they've already got the existing plan, so it's an amendment to the existing plan, effectively. Mm. So the existing plan shows if we don't say anything, they'll probably carry on doing much the same. If we do say something, then they might look at it and say, oh, that's a good idea.
Mm. So is there stuff you can talk about? I'm just thinking we should have a little break.
We can have a break if you like, but there's not a lot that we can say about it. They're asking for ideas.
Can we say what ideas we have? You must have some ideas. You got some ideas, John?
You've probably got some ideas on soccer, because there's that area behind the rugby club, which has been empty for the best part of 20 years, and which was originally bought for soccer to be played on.
That's not going to be used for soccer, John. There's not enough space there already. And if you're looking at long-term growth, then rugby will expand into there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But should we have a break? I want to have a break. And we'll be... if I use the right mouse, we'll get there. Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we've just pulled up, folks. This is worth going to have a look at. John, have you put a link to this on the Whangaroa Environmental Defence Facebook page?
Yes. It's also pretty easy to find if you look at the Waikato District Council website and go to the Say It tab up at the top.
And it's the Spaces and Places feedback. And I actually will commend the council for trying to make something that is quite accessible for people. There's a map, just like a Google map. You can zoom in and out, and you can put little markers on it saying you like something, you dislike something, or you've had a bright idea. And so far, only John has put that he likes the Wainui Reserve Bush Park. And we know it's John because it's the only one and the only like in the Raglan area.
So obviously, you ought to have all the park spending concentrated on it. Yeah,
we have a lot of toilets, don't we, John? A lot of public toilets.
Well, it's because we have a lot of visitors coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it also seems to me that there's odd corners that council's forgotten about, like that area behind the rugby ground, which they bought for about $100,000 about 20 years ago and haven't done anything with so far. It's becoming a bit of a nature reserve, so there's some quite good butterflies down there. But apart from that, it's basically an area of wasteland.
Well, this is what councils and governments used to do. They would buy land decades ahead when it was cheap to be used for some purpose. In this case, they said that soccer was going to move there because Papahua was where soccer was never meant to be, even though it's been there for 40 years now. I've pointed out to the council that space that they've bought is no longer big enough to handle soccer, but it will be big enough when rugby eventually grows, when the population, if they're serious that the population is going to quadruple in the next 50 years, then they'll need that land for rugby. So that solves that problem.
We should also mention that it's not just looking at parks and reserves, but it's also looking at libraries and community halls.
And community hubs. What's a community hub, John?
It's much the same as a community hall, except that it maybe isn't as big as a hall.
Oh, it's got its own separate label. Have we got one? We haven't got one here, have we?
I don't know. Is the old school a community hub? I don't know what they've labelled that. Because the old school's amongst those things. So
it's just the old school arts centre. It's nothing in particular.
Oh, they haven't even labelled it. Maybe it needs a label to say that it is council property and council could do something with it.
Mm. So what can we say? Well, you want to talk about soccer because we know that it is... I mean, back when I was involved with the soccer club, I submitted to, was it the Coastal Reserves Plan? And the panel there got the message that it's running out of room at Papahua. And it's also complicated by the fact that no one really wants to spend any money there because officially it's never going to be the home of soccer, even though it's been there for 40 years. So they said, and I did talk to a staff member who said they had some money aside where they could buy some land. Actually, that's what they said a few years ago.
Okay.
Buy some land for some sports fields. And we were like, where is the flat land in Raglan anyway? And no one knew.
Well, maybe they need to look at Rangitahi, where they don't have flat land, but they just bring in lots of earth movers and it ends up being flat.
Well, that's how you do it. Like, if you go to places like Auckland, you'll see sports facilities where they step down a hill, field by field. Uh-huh. But also, there's Wainui Reserve, and it does have some flat areas on it. People might say, well, that's pretty exposed to the wind, but promise me, if you haven't been down to the sports fields at Papahua, it's very exposed to the wind, no matter what direction it's coming from. I've spent plenty of Saturday mornings there getting blasted sideways by sideways rain. So this is just one that I know about to talk about, that the reserve could be used for some sports facilities. I know that actually that people love going to Papahua for their sport. It's in the middle of town. The kids can walk down from school. But there's some space issues. John, you got any ideas for some public facilities? Someone wanted an aquatic centre. I saw that on your post.
Uh-huh. Well, but when the community board consulted on what priorities for Raglan ought to be, was it probably almost 10 years ago now, then a swimming pool came up very high on that. And I've kept on mentioning that the first swimming pool was supposed to be a coronation memorial one, but that was for the...
When
coronation back in 1910. So,
well, I mean, every little town in Raglan had big ideas about how it's going to develop and become like an English town.
And we haven't got a swimming pool. There is talk of one being developed at Rangitahi, but that was somewhat dependent on whether the council was going to take it on, and I don't know where we've got to on those negotiations.
Well, the community board said that they were supportive of it, but not in the sense that it would start costing ratepayers money for maintenance. And, of course, I suspect what happened... I know it's great for the property, the developer, to go, oh, there's going to be a pool here. That'll help sell their houses. Mm. But who's left with the costs? And there's even big questions about Rangitahi. There's lots and lots of green space there. Are our rates going to be used to mow that? Is that what's going to happen? Like, that's huge.
Well, presumably we're going to have more rates because there are going to be all the people there paying rates. So I think the thinking is that that will cover the cost of that.
Just their rates? Because the other thing about that development is all the sections are very small. Like, they actually break the normal council rules about property size. And I guess what's happened is to balance that, there's all the green space.
Yep. Because I noticed that on the Rangitahi website, they say look out for the announcement of opening the swimming pool. So I don't know whether it really is going ahead or whether that's an out-of-date website.
It's something that will encourage people to buy a section there, John, isn't it?
It's a good cynical view of it.
I take the cynical sound out of my voice. It still is. That is something that would encourage someone to buy there. So, yeah.
Anyway, we've reached the bottom of the hour and you've got another interview to fit in.
No, we haven't. So. We've got a few more minutes. Okay. I want to hear your ideas for Raglan, John. Public facilities. More toilets, perhaps? we've got a vote from the floor for more toilets.
Yep.
I'll keep going. Oh, that wasn't a vote for toilets. Something else.
This is the more community gardens, maybe, as well. So, yeah, there's lots of things that you could do with areas. We haven't really got any nature reserves as such. We've got areas where we're improving the state of nature.
Isn't that what the bush park is?
We're doing trapping and such like and planting and all the other things. But there's no area where we've sort of focused on it and said, what do we need to make it more attractive for whatever species we want to get in there? And we've still got a lot of problems with weeds. So I was walking through Wainui Reserve last week and noticed that there's a whole area of climbing asparagus that is one of the pest plants along the Kaitoki walkway. But it seems to have now spread to Wainui Reserve as well. And there's probably quite a few other areas which have got weeds like that and could do with controlling. So, yeah, there's plenty of things that could go into that plan. And there's probably odd corners that nobody's ever looked at. And if you've got one next door to you and you don't know whether it's council-owned or not, then it quite likely is council-owned and it's worth drawing it to their attention and saying, is anyone going to do anything with this bit of land?
Yeah.
This is what I think could be done with it.
We're looking at little parks. Oh, there is an official park at Rangitahi near the hut. Okay, all right. What about community hubs? What about a youth hub, John?
Well, that's been talked of for the building on Wienera Street next to the police station for quite a long time. And yet it's never happened. So that's the one which has been used for a long time to store stuff which wouldn't fit in the museum.
The doctors were there 20 years ago, or probably longer than 20.
Yeah, the doctor's surgery used to be there for those who've been in Raglan a long time. And it's an area that also directly has the footbridge behind it. So there was talking of putting a walkway through there to give direct access to the footbridge.
That was something Clint Baddeley was very much in favour of. You walk across the footbridge from Papahua, up some stairs onto that council-owned land, past the youth hub / art centre or whatever you want to do, and across to Electric Avenue.
Yeah, because that was partly to solve the problem of the narrow walkway, which has now been partly widened, but part of it's narrower than it used to be. So there's still that bottleneck as you come off the footbridge onto the new, what they're calling, Wienera walkway.
Yeah.
And it could still do with some improvements to overcome that bottleneck.
You know, we'd need more halls. We need more. There's so many. If you look at all the after-school programs taking up halls and things, and there's sometimes the soccer club will have a coaches training session where an expert will come out from Hamilton, and they've had to do those in Tiuku a few times in the last few years because they just couldn't get a hall anywhere in Raglan to do that. So we are certainly running out of those kinds of spaces, those sort of public building spaces and halls. And I know that there are a couple of guys who also would like to see like a full basketball court-sized hall in town. I know that the Art to Wear would love a thing that size to have their annual event, which is always sells out really quickly. So that's a thing too.
Yep, well, there is that building, as we've just been discussing, down on Wienera Street, which is pretty much unused at the moment.
But you can't have a basketball game in there, John. That's just a house.
Well, there is the area around it as well, and there's the area across the road from it, which is still empty at the moment.
That's
council lease land.
And private ownership.
Privately leased, yes.
Private leaseship.
Which is probably another reason why we need a structure plan, because that area has been zoned for a shopping area, in fact, has planning permission or resource consent to put a shopping area there, but it's not happened. It'd be good to work out why it's not happened and why there's still pressure on
other areas. Because the owner doesn't want to do it yet.
There's also what we could do with our street trees. Some of our street trees are looking in not too healthy condition.
The Phoenix Palms, the iconic Phoenix Palms, John.
Yes.
As they're described. What do you want to do with those?
well, at some stage they're going to need replacing, and there's no plan to replace them at the moment. Of course, there was at one stage there were no trees at all down the centre of Bow Street, so they've grown up in the last century. And do we want to keep some sort of tree there? And if so, is it foreign palm tree, or do we want to have some native trees down there? What do we want to do with the Puhutukawas down there at the bottom end?
We want to keep them. That's everyone's favourite place.
And do we want to still have them partly blocking the road, or... there's a whole question, I suppose, of Bow Street and whether we want to pedestrianise it, which has been on the cards for, 20, 30 years, I think.
For you, John, for you.
Well, no, for Raglan, naturally.
I think it could be... I think that the main street would get way too empty if it was pedestrianised, but it could be... Oh, what have you got there, Katie?
A club hoodie for the LG.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
A new hoodie for Aaron.
So, yeah, there's lots of ideas, and we've got a month or so to put them to the council,
yes.
And then there's going to be a formal plan that comes out, and you have the usual options of putting in objections or suggestions to that, but this is really the stage at which all the bright ideas can come forward. So,
yeah, bring your bright ideas, folks.
If you've got a bit of land that you've been looking at and thinking, why don't they do that with it, then now's your opportunity to say, why don't they do that with it? That might even happen.
There's no yellow bit over Joyce Petrel Park.
This is one of the problems with the council's allocation of land, that some areas they've recognised and that they want to do something with them, and other areas they've not. So if you spot an area of land which doesn't have one of these yellow blobs on it, then you might want to be asking why not.
Pūruru Park has got something. And then there's a bit across in Te Ako. That's a lot of public land there. I didn't realise that was all public land.
There's a par site there that is open to the public, but hardly anyone goes up there.
Right, and what's this? This little bit here, Lorenzen Bay.
Oh, that's the park going back from Lorenzen Bay, which is mostly overgrown scrub at the moment.
Oh, that's just,
with quite a lot of weed in it.
There's a walkway down to, some people go down the steps at the end of Daisy Street, but if you come from Bayview Road, you can also walk down through some trees. You're not sure if you're on private property or not, but you're not on private property. It's not really a park, it's just an access way.
Well, signposting is one of the other problems, because I noticed that the start of the Kaitoki walkway on Robertson Street, there's a nice big sign when you get down to the walkway, but you can't see that sign from the road. So it looks as though you're walking down a private driveway, but you get down to the bottom of that driveway and you find a signpost, and the signpost really needs to be at the top, or at the top as well as at the bottom. So there's quite a lot of details like that that people could well be commenting on and saying, why don't you do that, and why don't you make that more obvious, or why don't you make it easier or whatever, or improve it.
So Manu Bay hasn't got a yellow blob on it for Neighbourhood Park, but Whale Bay does. And this tiny little square at the end of Calvert Street or Calvert Road. Anyway, we're getting distracted. Folks, if you want to have your say, go to the District Council, click on the Say It button, go to Spaces and Places, and you can go to their map down the bottom and just click on things to say, I like that, I don't like that, or why don't you do one of these things here? It's quite easy, and this is the bit before they do the draft and everyone complains that, oh, they've already written it and we can't really change it. This is the time to get in. And that's us. Thank you, John. We're going to have a little break. And I'm going to be talking to Tanya in just a moment about community energy whangaroa.